It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements, an enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history, from Eden to Mount Hermon, from Hermon to Babel, from Babel to Rome, from Rome to the cross, and from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes, and to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
It's Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we're so glad that you've chosen to join us today. Got your tea in hand or cup of cocoa, perhaps?
Yes, we're getting into that season, aren't
we? Cocoa, indeed, yes. Cocoa before bedtime. I love that. So depending upon when you're watching this, you're either drinking coffee or maybe a cup of cocoa.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, but tea works really well.
Tea works really well for us.
It helps energize and bring the mind back to life, which is
focus.
Really necessary. As we've been going through a rather deep dive and a lot of speculation over the last couple of months, because a lot of what we thought we knew about Satan was really just traditions that entered into the early church and not really based on what the Jews believed about the Satan in the Old Testament. In fact, a lot of the early church didn't really accept, didn't teach the nature of Satan the way we've been taught to understand the devil in our modern churches. And so just trying to get back to understanding the way he's really depicted in the Bible. So the last week, this week, we're kind of focusing on scriptures that give us some hard data, if you will, about Satan.
And the truth is that by watching these programs on our sort of struggle to understand who this entity really is and what he wants and what his plan has been all along, you're getting a glimpse, a spoiler alert, glimpse ahead at the book that Derek and I are co-writing for 2022, and it's tentatively called The Gates of Hell, this idea that Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against his kingdom.
Right.
Kingdom against kingdom. When Jesus tells us in the last days, we would see, you know, ethnos against ethnos, this idea of various people groups at war with one another. He also said kingdom against kingdom. And I believe he meant his kingdom versus Satan's kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not talking geopolitical entities.
We're not. We're talking theopolitics.
Right. Well, and that's really important because that's really what the war is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know last week I was trying like a bull in a china shop to get through all of these verses here, but there's so much depth here. Thank you for slowing me down and slowing my roll here, because there is a lot here. And one of the things that I think was really significant, and credit to David W. Lowe for pointing this out in his book, Deconstructing Lucifer, that Jesus in Matthew 12 lets drop a little nugget of information that kind of slips past us. In the Old Testament, Satan was just the adversary. He was the one who just accused those who said they were followers of Yahweh, of God, and showed that sometimes we could be tempted away from, like in the book of Job. Job, yeah, he follows you because he's rich. He's got lots of kids. He's happy. He's wealthy. He's safe. He's secure. But let me take away all of the physical things that he depends on, and we'll see what happens. Well, that was the role of the Satan through the early years of the Christian church. But we can see in Matthew 12, when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees saying, well, he's casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, which means Baal the prince. That's where Jesus identifies Baal, the storm god, Zeus, Jupiter, Thor, as the big adversary. He said, if he casts out demons by his own power, how will his kingdom stand? Satan has a kingdom.
Yes.
So yes, kingdom versus kingdom. That's an important bit of information. Is it possible in Luke chapter 10, which is following the transfiguration on Mount Hermon, where Jesus climbed a very high mountain near Caesarea Philippi, which is at the foot of Mount Hermon, so it's got to be that mountain.
Yep.
The mountain where El held court with his 70 sons, the 70 gods of the nations. In other words, every other nation except Israel. He comes down the mountain and he sends out his 70 or 72 disciples into Galilee ahead of him, which is his message to the spirit realm, to the kingdom of Satan.
Yes.
My 70 are more important than your 70, are more powerful. And that number, numerologically, in the ancient world meant all of them. Mm-hmm. So my disciples will go out and will overwhelm your, my disciples in the natural realm will overwhelm your 70 supernatural gods.
Yes.
And they came back and said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And that's when yes. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Is that the moment that Satan was transformed from just the adversary to setting up his own kingdom on earth?
I think that is very, very possible. Now, does that mean that that happened during the time that the disciples were out and working, the 70 apostles? Possibly.
Hmm.
Remember when Jesus talks in past tense, and we see this in the Old Testament as well, that some prophecies are in past tense. It's because God Almighty, Yahweh, is outside of time. All things happen at the same time.
Right.
All at once to him.
Everywhere.
So he foresees everything, everywhere, every when, exactly. So when Jesus says, I saw it, when he was in heaven and he was outside of time, he saw it then.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be using that as the reason for the past tense, or it could be it happened in the first century.
Right then, when he sent out the 70. He sent Jesus with the transfiguration on Mount Hermon, mm-hmm. their mountain, sent a message out to the spirit realm saying, here I am. I am divine.
Yes.
What are you going to do about it? And then sending out his 70, his disciples, into the nations to change them and take away their dominion over those nations.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's when he, from there, went to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission.
At which time they all thought, great.
Yes.
We'll just kill him. That'll yes. fix it.
And
we see, and Satan entered into Judas. This
right,
could
right.
be indeed when he fell, and this was his angry moment
mm-hmm.
when he says, that's it.
Yeah. And that's an interesting bit of information, too, because most of us have the idea, or at least I did, that only demons would possess a human, that fallen angels, period, mm-hmm. can have corporeal existence. The angels who visited Abraham, for example, mm-hmm. ate a meal with him. We're told in the book of Hebrews that we can entertain angels unawares. Mm-hmm. They look like us. They act like us. They
right.
can interact with us. Demons can't. They don't have physical bodies. They have to possess a body in order to interact in the physical realm. But apparently angels can also possess humans because
yes.
we see Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Luke and John both mention that. And
but I would also say that when those apostles came back, they said that some of them wouldn't obey.
Those,
and Jesus
yeah.
said they only come out through prayer and fasting.
Right. Don't know if Satan is among that group, but
well,
I would argue that
not.
As a powerful entity, so powerful that even the archangel Michael didn't fight with him, didn't contend with him for the body of Moses, which is another little bit of information.
Yes,
there.
But I wasn't saying it was Satan they were trying to kick out.
Right.
I'm saying it was an angel they were trying to kick out. A watcher.
Could be, yes, yes.
Michael Heiser gets into that in some of his fiction.
Yes.
The fact that there are some demonic possessions
right.
that you can't kick out the normal way because
okay.
they are
yep.
watchers.
I see. I short-circuited where you were going with that.
Yep.
I apologize. But you're right that that what may appear to be a demon...
You need more tea.
may appear to be a demon is actually a fallen angel. And that's where I was going with the reference to Satan, that even Michael, the archangel, would not try to contend with Satan directly, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
Right.
Whereas, the disciples were successful for the most part in casting mm-hmm. out demons, but there were some that, and again, that's a mysterious passage in Scripture
really
that we
is.
Don't know why there were some who would not come out except through prayer and fasting, but we do know that there's a hierarchy in the mm-hmm. spirit realm, and some deliverance ministers have found that because of legal permissions that some have mm-hmm. given to these entities to enter into them and take possession, that deliverance ministers can invite retribution onto themselves if they're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's outside the scope of this conversation, but we do know that Satan and other Watcher class entities like him, perhaps, can possess some who have opened themselves up to it. Now, we need to remember that John said, greater is he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, the god of this world being Satan.
Exactly. So, we still don't lose our free will.
Correct.
You always have free will to say no,
mm-hmm.
and to prayer, to go for prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, Satan wanted to sift the disciples like wheat.
Yeah.
Jesus revealed this in the last day or so of his life. This is in Luke chapter 22. Jesus said he prayed for Peter. In fact, this took place at the Last Supper, where Jesus was
yes.
Told Peter that he would pray for him, that he would return after his denial of Jesus. He foretold the denial. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again or turned back,
mm-hmm.
strengthen your brothers. And that's, of course, when he said, I tell you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. So Satan wanting to, I guess, understanding.
I think this is right after Peter said, I'll die for you.
He did. And this was after, of course, they had the argument between some of the disciples among which of them was to be greatest, regarded as the greatest among them.
Yeah.
And Jesus, you know, knowing what was about to come, must have just been shaking his head in disbelief. It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
but this argues also for the authenticity of the scriptures, because if they had been edited and re-edited to make the disciples look better over mm-hmm. the centuries, as skeptics claim, they wouldn't have left this part in.
No, but, they wouldn't have.
But that's important a bit of information. Satan tries to divide and conquer. And he was doing this even up until the last minute, even as they were foolishly helping, Satan and his minions, foolishly helping Jesus fulfill his mission by sending him to the cross.
And he would have picked out the weakest link. I think he thought he was going to get Peter, but he probably sort of probed the minds and the spirits of every one of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And finally settled on Judas.
Yeah.
Because Judas said, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll continue as we look at our study of Satan and what to expect from him in the end times as Unraveling Revelation continues after this.
With the official disclosure of UFOs moving full steam ahead, very few will be prepared for what is coming. The answers are now available in Josh Peck's groundbreaking new Skywatch Films documentary DVD, over 10 years in the making, entitled The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, along with Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose on DVD, Rome and the Star God, and the late Chris Putnam's Vatican presentation on DVD, Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection. Josh Peck's new documentary, The Great Delusion, reveals for the first time why the Vatican is in possession of a telescope named the Lucifer Device, why the ancient and mysterious Anasazi suddenly disappeared from the historic record, how alien abductions might be connected to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, whether there is a secret alien-human hybridization program being conducted on Earth right now, if there is a connection between aliens and supernatural entities such as demons and fallen angels, and what we can do to prepare for what's ahead. You'll also see stunning reports on the UFO phenomenon by Dr. Thomas Horn, Josh Peck, L.A. Marzulli, Timothy Alberino, Nick Pope, Chris Putnam, Chuck Misler, and many more. You'll also receive Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose, Rome and the Star God, on DVD. Join Dr. Horn for this incredible expose on how the Vatican is not only willing to accept our alien brothers with open arms, but are actually enabling the arrival of the end-time Star God, the Antichrist. But that's not all. We're also including the late Chris Putnam's shocking presentation entitled Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection on DVD. detailing the Vatican's plans to baptize aliens upon their arrival and how contemporary societies will soon look to the aliens to be the saviors of humankind. Sold separately, these items have a retail value of $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for full disclosure with the Great Delusion Special Offer. Available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Here are the upcoming conferences and events featuring the team from SkyWatch TV. For a full list and complete information, log on to skywatchtv.com/events or download our free mobile app for iOS and Android devices and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. We have links to the app stores posted at skywatchtv.com.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from SkyWatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, drinking my tea. I hope you've got something really lovely there too, cocoa or something. We would love to share some tea with you in Israel.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to join us in March of 2022, go to skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com, and you will find all of the information about our current tour and even future tours once we decide to go back in, say, 2023.
And the Israeli Tourism Ministry just recently reopened for tourists. Now, as of this recording, they are requiring vaccines, but we're waiting to see some clarity on that. And here's the thing. Aaron Lipkin of Lipkin Tours has promised that if there are restrictions on travel that are not acceptable to you, your deposit will be refunded. Or if we have to change the dates in order to accommodate the ease of travel or travel without so many restrictions and you can't accommodate the new dates, your deposit will be refunded. So
that is very true. And by the way, speaking of vaccines, there are a lot of different ones that are coming out that are not dependent upon nucleic acid. So keep watching for that, because there may be one down the line that actually looks promising.
And based on more reliable and tested technology.
Traditional technology.
Yeah. In the end times, well, let me come back to this, because you're right. Satan tries to exploit our weaknesses, and he probes us for our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And certainly he found in Judas, it's been speculated that Judas might have thought he could have provoked Jesus into what he thought the Messiah was there to do, which was establish the kingdom and drive out the hated Romans by provoking the arrest. Well, if they come to arrest him, surely he will call on legions of angels, and he didn't understand.
No.
That's what was going to happen.
He didn't, and he also was sort of the keeper of the purse.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he was in charge of the money, which
Greed.
May have been good or not, because it may have actually revealed something of his heart.
Yes.
That he was greedy. Yes.
Right, right.
Or that he somehow thought we need a lot of money if we're going to mount an attack.
And yeah, an
on
effective
Jerusalem.
Defense. Yeah. So he sold Jesus to the Sanhedrin, and but that's not the only avenue of attack. You know, pride is certainly one that is exploited. Paul wrote this in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, talking about those who are eligible to become leaders of a congregation. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil.
Mm-hmm. And every one of us, if you've spent much time within an actual church setting, you've seen that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when I was really, really young, I was given charge of various things within our church, and I was maybe 12 years old. It was just that I was one of those gung-ho students that wanted to learn everything. But at 12, you're not ready to be given responsibilities. And I know that I after a while, I just thought, I can't do this. And I just backed away from it, because I had a lot of other things to do, but also I could feel myself getting proud.
Mm.
And the Lord sort of smacked me up the side of the head and said, this is not who you are. This is not who I am.
That's one of the things that I keep hearing as we do this. And I began my broadcasting career when I was in college. And so
you're really old, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Josh Peck keeps reminding me. Yeah, you began your college or your broadcasting career, your full-time broadcast career, the year I was born.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
But in my college age, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, really turned my head that there were young ladies who thought it was really impressive that I could speak into a microphone.
And you're handsome.
Well, thank you. But I went through a number of rather humbling experiences between then and now. And so I know that, you know, whatever good comes from this program is not coming out of my head. It's God is allowing me to do things. And so I keep hearing that those words, be not proud, because that would be a weakness that the enemy would exploit in me, that I would somehow think that it's because of my abilities to speak into a microphone or look into a camera that anything good comes from this. And that's not it at all. But that's why I think this didn't come about, this ministry, until later in life after going through some rather humbling experiences.
But I think that I've often said, it amazes me how many people write to us and talk to us at conferences who say how these programs have changed their lives. It's the Lord who's changed your life.
Right.
Derek and I, we're just a couple of goofy people who are nerds, and we love to study, and we like to talk to one another, so hence we get to do this. But it's really the Lord who's working in your life. So always thank Him. We love hearing from you, but we're nothing more than the instruments through which He's working.
Conduits. And God has always used flawed and broken vessels all throughout. I mean, look carefully at the stories of men like David and Solomon and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Look at the disciples. Again, even the Last Supper. Hey, who's the greatest one of us? Oh, I would die for you, Lord. I'll never deny you. And hours later, Peter, fearful for his own life, denied our Lord three times after Judas collected 30 pieces of silver, after other disciples arguing who gets to sit closest to Jesus when his kingdom is established, which they didn't understand was a heavenly kingdom. They thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom. Oh, yeah, the times of David are coming back.
Didn't work out that way. Well,
no. Well,
Judas, when Satan entered into him, he betrayed the Lord. And then I think Satan must have just left, and then suddenly Judas realized what he'd done.
And that's why he hung himself,
yes.
Right?
And cursed is the man who hangs on a tree.
Right. Yes.
That was an echo of what happened to our Lord.
Right.
Judas did it for selfish reasons. Our Lord did it for very unselfish reasons.
Selfless reasons, right. Well, we also know, and this is something that has lured many into deception. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Hollywood always depicts Satan or his minions as just incredibly ugly, horrifying, terrifying.
Not always.
Creatures.
That TV show Lucifer.
Well, that's true. Depicts a very charming, wisecracking, handsome guy
who got railroaded by Dad.
Right. But there are those who've had visions and assume that because the vision that they were seeing, this angelic being, was so beautiful that it must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Satan is not going to appear in a way that literally scares the you-know-what out of you. He's going to lure you in through his beauty into accepting a false gospel. That's why, like the church at Berea, we need to go back to the scriptures. If you get a revelation, and those things still happen, you've got to go back to the Word of God, what's in the scriptures, and compare it. If the message differs, if he's preaching a different Christ, that's not an angel of God.
Exactly.
As John wrote, test the spirits, for not all are from the Lord.
In my research for the Red Wing Saga, one of the things that I've done is take a look at automatic writing. And there were a lot of young women, almost exclusively young women, single women in some cases, but others married, who had angels speaking to them. And there are even a few books out there written ostensibly by an angel through automatic writing. And the conversation that comes out is almost hypersexual in some cases.
Mm.
Not that it's overtly described, but it's clear that this being is communicating with this probably sort of broken young woman who has nothing else in her life, whether she's married or not. And so it's like a predator coming in and convincing her she's speaking with an angelic being from God.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, once you get through the whole who I am, why I'm here, then twisting of scripture, and it starts very subtly.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the book, in the case of a book, you see doctrine that has nothing to do with the Bible,
right.
Nothing.
Right. We see that in many of the revelations that have been considered miraculous even into the present day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what, don't want to get into specifics or cast any aspersions. That's a different episode maybe for the Bible's greatest mysteries. But
yeah.
That's not surprising because as we as Paul wrote again in 2 Corinthians 12, the Satan has messengers. He has mm-hmm. his own angels, his angelos, who go out and deliver his messages too. So if Satan can deceive as an angel of light, so mm-hmm. can his messengers. But in the end times, we find that he will empower the lawless one with all power and false signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Mm-hmm. He will empower the human, who we will call the Antichrist. Now, we believe there is another Antichrist spirit out there, and this leads to speculation. How does he empower that spirit? Well, if we're correct, and that spirit is the spirit called Leviathan, chaos, maybe Satan and his minions break him out of prison.
Break
it out of prison. It, right? So he will empower the lawless one with all power, false signs, and wonders. Again, we know he has a throne mm-hmm. as part of his kingdom, the great altar of Zeus, Revelation 2. So his, you know, that again leads to speculation. What's the role of modern-day Turkey in the end times?
That's an entire series of programs.
Yes.
And by the way, Derek and I are hoping to go to Turkey
yes.
and actually see some of these sites perhaps next fall, 2022.
Yeah, yeah, that will be fantastic.
We may even take a small group with us.
Yeah.
Just a dozen people or so.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll keep you posted on that, but that would be fascinating because there's some other sites there that we would want to see as well, like Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, in Revelation 20, we see that despite all of his schemes and his plans and the power that he has, where he's described as a roaring lion prowling about seeking whom he may devour, that he will be defeated, bound for 1,000 years, loosed for a little while, but then eventually thrown into the lake of fire with the false prophet
mm-hmm.
and the beast of Revelation
yes.
13. So, yeah, he knows his end is coming, and that's why he knows he's in Revelation 12, and we'll get back to that in the weeks ahead, that he is angry because he knows his time is short. But
exactly.
this, if we go back to Revelation 12, probably began around the time of the birth of Jesus, when mm-hmm. he was cast down out of heaven, swept a third of the angels with him, mm-hmm. the tail of the dragon.
Or unless it happened right after the transfiguration.
Or it may have happened then.
Or after the apostles went out and kicked everybody out. We don't know, but it happened or will happen. Bottom line is, Satan knows his time is short.
Yes.
So he knows Bible prophecy a whole lot better than we do.
Mm-hmm. His kingdom is coming to an end, and it's closer to its ending than it is to its beginning.
Howdy.
And so we're praying for the return of our Lord and Savior soon. We see into this realm as though through into a glass darkly, as Paul wrote. In other words, we're looking and seeing into a darkened room and everything is backward, trying to make sense out of that. So we pray for wisdom. We understand we're not going to see it clearly, any more clearly than the apostles and the disciples did the night before Jesus' departure from this world the first time, and even just before his departure the second time when he was assumed into heaven and they were asking him, "Will you restore the kingdom now?" We're not going to get it any more clearly than they did then.
No, we're not.
So, but we are told that the book of Revelation is a blessing to those who will read it and study it. And that's why we do it and why we're glad you're joining us on this survey through Revelation. And this is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV, a viewer-supported ministry. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com.